windows of the church. That was so cool. I had other people make some cool signs that I could hold up. Had a lot of people wanted to volunteer. It was just too dark and too windy and too rainy to put them out by the road. So we just did what we could do. So we appreciate that. Appreciate Ed for filling in Sunday and preaching the word. We just appreciate him and giving his time and effort in that. Really appreciate him doing that for me, but also for the church. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. We're also going to be, if you want to get a head start, we're going to be in Luke chapter 7 this Sunday morning, somewhere around verse 12 to about verse 20. So if you want to read ahead and do your own study and prayer over that, that's where we're going to be. God's really opened the door in our church. I've had several people just in the last few weeks reach out to me from our church, but also people that I've known in ministry over the years reach out to me about losing people or people that are dying, okay? People that are really struggling with a loved one who's either in the process of dying or could be dying, or it just seems like, and the first thing they say is, they come at it from a point of, why is God doing this? Right? Why is God doing this to this person that I love so much? So that kind of sparked the ministry that we're going to have this Sunday, especially in the morning service. I'm not sure about the night service, but we're going to kind of minister that, okay? We're going to minister that need. So if, you know, kind of pass it throughout the whole church service that, or, you know, throughout the church, let people know if you're struggling with, maybe it's somebody's already passed, somebody's going through that, it'll help them. It's been really a high key issue for me, and I want everybody to know. You know, the biggest part of it is God didn't save your soul for your body to live forever here. Amen. He saves us for us to live eternally in heaven. Amen. We are all, everybody in this room. We're all. They told me they could be loud tonight. I hope they are. The deal with this is everybody in this room is going to die. Everybody. I know we always say, unless the Lord comes back, that's obvious, okay? If the Lord does come back out of the eastern sky, let me tell you this, explain this to you. You most of you on a Wednesday night already know this, but if Jesus was to bust the eastern sky tonight with a shout, with a trumpet, this old body would fall off, amen? It would die too, amen? Because we couldn't appear before God. We'd have to appear for him before in our spirit, amen? He would give us a new glorified body, but this body will not stand before God, amen? So we're all going to die. We're all going to die. There's no rules to this. We don't get to pick the death we're going to die. Nobody's greater than anybody else in this room, amen? So the thing about it is we can, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? It's swallowed up in the fact that we have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? So you might, I'm about to lose it and preach that instead of the other, but I have seen the death of great godly people. But while you're standing there looking at that person, you think failure. You think a loss. Amen? But God is standing right on the other side of this temporal time saying that is victorious. The last thing you see, because sometimes we thought, we lost about, if that person saved, and that is the importance of the gospel, while they're in their right mind, while they are able to hear, understand, and comprehend. Amen? And you can grieve, and you should. You can miss, and you should. You should have all the things that grief brings with it, but at the same time, there is a hope in there. If they are born again, I will see them again, praise God. Are y'all good? Man, I love Wednesday night. I was sitting there today, man, and I was thinking, man, I was kind of, you know, Wednesday night's kind of weird. I was thinking about shuffling back and going to this other message and doing this, because this is a Sunday message. This is a Sunday morning message. But the good thing about this is I don't care about Sunday messages and Wednesday messages, and I just like preaching the word. And I like preaching the word that God gives me at the time that he gives me. Amen? And I thought, why waste it? You know, like, let's just jump into work. And it came to pass. Do y'all see that? I can make my first point off what I was about to say. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Do y'all see that? And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. The best preaching, the best teaching anybody will ever do, the best preaching, the best teaching that Jesus ever done is when hungry souls want to hear from heaven, who want to hear from God, who want to hear from Jesus, press on Jesus. Amen? You wonder, what makes a good message? Good listening, good hearts, good prayer. People who are saying, God, give it to me. God, give me a word that I can put in my mind, put in my heart, edify my spirit unto change. Unto the effect that you want it to have. When the word penetrates my heart like a sharp two-edged sword and it cuts going in and cuts coming out, Lord, bring about the fruit that you want that message to bring. I love Wednesday night because a lot of times on Wednesday night you guys just come. You're tired. It's the middle of the week. You thought about, well, I couldn't, I shouldn't. Me is a 50-50. It's a toss-up. I don't know, but I'll go anyway. Praise God. Aren't you glad a lot of times when you go on Wednesday night when you're leaving, you're going, man, I'm glad I didn't just go home and just check it off and say I'll do it next time. Amen? He stood by the Lake Genesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were going out of them and were washing their nets. Let me get back to that in a second. Jesus looked around and seen these people that were hungry for the word of God. And he said, man, this would be a good time to preach a message. This would be a good time to share the word. And I thought, man, over the years, I'm very skeptical of preachers because I am one. Amen. I'm very skeptical. I'm very skeptical of preachers who want to preach in pulpits on Sunday. I'm very skeptical of people who only want to preach to a big Sunday crowd in front of Sunday people who are all dressed up and look great. I worry. I look at them and I go, man, do you not have a burden on your heart for lost, broken people? Amen? Listen, I always look for the people who are trying to avoid a big stage and a platform. If you'll go back in the Word of God, everybody who did great things for God usually ran from the calling. They weren't running from God. They just didn't want to do something on their own strength and power. You got to go back. The first pastor, the first leader, the first spiritual leader in the Bible other than God is Moses. The first thing Moses is like, no, 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 no. Amen? No. You know what? He ends up leading 1 million people. 1 million people. That's a great ministry, by the way. You start out with slaves, and you end up having the greatest army, the greatest move of God, the ups, the downs, the ins and outs. And you're leading them, and every single time you do something great for God, you're on your face before God, you're standing in the gap for people, you're praying for people that you don't think are doing the right thing, or you know they're not doing the right thing, but then you're also ministering to the people that are doing the right thing. Golly, I could preach for hours on this, but what I want you to understand is, praise God, I love when you look out, the greatest places you will minister are the places where you think this is not very significant. Let me say that again. This is not very significant. Those are the places that God is going to call souls to salvation and people to work for the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, I'm sure there are big churches and big ministries and great things have happened, but I guarantee you this, most of the people that have congregated there who really are hungry and thirsty for God were called out of the world, out of small, insignificant places. He reached down into the pit and pulled them up out of the miry clay and set them on solid ground. Amen? Most people were called out of the miry pit. Amen? And guess what? That's what we should be hungry. This church, every ministry. I can't speak for every church. I can't speak for every ministry. But I can speak for this church. We should have a desire to reach our world. We should have a heart to say, how can I affect change? Let me speak when I can speak. Let me have action when I can have action. But God, do not let me sit on the sideline of life any longer. Let me see it. God, and when I don't even think I see it, God, put a burden on my heart. I've preached this here before. I'll preach it again. Nothing you'll do in the kingdom of God or for the kingdom of God will come from a good, happy place most of the time, 90% of the time, 99.9% of the time. It'll be from a broken place. Your heart will be broken. And you'll say, what happens to those people if they die lost? What happens if I don't start? If I don't do that, what would happen? We need to say to ourselves, God, put me on the front line. Put me in the game. Put me beside the person you need to hear the gospel. Let me live it. Let me breathe it. Let me walk it. The last thing I want to do is somebody who just goes to church to say that I went to church. I want to be a part of it, God. I want to be a part of the kingdom work. When Jesus shows up on this, aren't you amazed? Y'all should know this already. Y'all probably already do. Jesus is at the Lake of Gennesaret about to pick the inner circle of His disciples and apostles. These men, when you get to heaven, you will see them sitting around Jesus. These are great men of God, but He did not pick them out of the temple or the synagogue. He did not go to the holy places. He didn't go to the people that had it all figured out, that were all cleaned up, that were holy, that were religious, who were praying and doing all these things. He went to working people that most people had already passed over. Some of you said, and you think, God can never use somebody like me. God will use somebody exactly like you. All you've got to be willing to do is, if He does, call. I will answer. God don't need educated, smart, brilliant, powerful, well-doing people. He needs people who says, yes, sir. Private Sheldon reporting for duty, sir. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Anything. You just ask and I will do. That's my job. And he will ask, oh, can somebody every once in a while just say, Kevin, just keep reading the scriptures. It'll help you. Let me go ahead and get this point too, in verse 2. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Jesus will get in your stuff. Amen? Before you get saved, usually, before He calls you, He starts getting in your stuff, and it's kind of aggravating. Now, I want y'all to really see this. I guarantee you, every one of those fishermen, John, James, Peter, every one of them, Andrew, were looking over there and they were like, what is that guy doing in those boats? Amen? You've done it before. Jesus, you don't need to meddle around with that. That's business. That's business. And I know what church is, but that's business. That's my life. That's my identity. Come on. That's my identity. God, you don't need to mess around with that. Do y'all not see that? Jesus is working on multiple levels. He's trying to call His apostles. He's trying to call some people to service. He's ministering to certain needs, and He's trying to save people, but He's doing it all at the same time, and He just sits down in what's going to be what they call the little rock of the New Testament. He sits right down in Peter's boat. Do you think that's a mistake? It's not a mistake that He sits down in your life either. I always used to think to myself, "Why?" You know, when I first got into ministry, it was amazing. God didn't use a bunch of things that I didn't know how to do. He used the things that I was already doing. The first great ministry, I told you about the cigarette butts, but one of the first greatest ministries that I ever had, and y'all think I'm bragging. I am not bragging right here. I will lay out the whole truth for you. At one time, I could bench press 415 pounds. Like it wasn't nothing. Now, I weighed 330 pounds. See, there's the whole truth, right? But there is something about dudes. If you can walk in a room on the hoof in your work clothes, put four plates on the bench press and press it, dudes will walk by and go, man, what's that all about? I started doing that. I'd go down in the mornings and talk to guys about Jesus in a ministry where there were homeless and drug addicted people. And I would say, I would catch a couple of guys doing some weights. I'd say, hey, man, can I jump in there with you and just do a couple of those? And they'd be like, yeah, man, go ahead. How much can you do? I'd just go ahead and put two of them on there. No, you had two already? Yeah, just go ahead and put three of them on there. All right, go ahead and put four. And by that time, I'd have 15 or 20 guys standing there. So the next thing you know, I'm telling 14, do you think this is strong? This is nothing compared to the love of Jesus. The next thing I got to do is I love softball. I did. Let me just break it down for you the way I really like. I love playing sports. I love competing. I'm a terrible softball player. But I will learn how to do something so I can compete. Amen? So guess what? It's kind of like the final frontier of athletics. When you get old, softball is kind of like, that's it. Amen? Now, we're still playing basketball. That's a mistake. Amen? Some of y'all should have said amen. This is one of the rarest places in the world that's still happening. Amen? But softball's usually it. But I remember when God himself, I was standing on a softball field just freshly saved, just born again. I was standing on a softball playing a Midnight Madness tournament. My wife allowed me to go play these softball tournaments all over the place, and I was not that great. I could hit the ball. I could catch a ball, but that's about it. I couldn't play in the infield. I was terrible, but I could do all those other things. But guess what? One midnight service, I got on a team that was absolutely terrible. And I was standing outfield, and I was sitting back there. It was about 11:45 on a Saturday night, and I'm thinking, man, we are terrible. God spoke to my heart and said, on this play right here, if y'all make this last out, I want you to get all your stuff, and I want you to get out of here. God, we don't get this last play. We did. I ran all the way up there, put all my stuff in my backpack, and people were like, hey, man, we can pick up with another team. There's gonna be games all night long. And I'm throwing my stuff in the bag. I haven't not been saved long, but I wanted to do something crazy good for God, so I was going to be obedient. So I'm throwing my stuff in the bag, and I'm packing it up, and I'm walking. And as I walk to my car, three other people from three different teams were like, Kevin, you got to stay. You can play with us. You can pick up on this team. We got to. And the last one was the hardest one. I walked by, and I knew who he was. And I knew the team they had, and he said, we're going to win it all. We're going to win it all. Come on, join up, man. We need you. You can DH. All you got to do is stand up there and hit. I'm like, brother, friend, I'm going home. Couldn't tell him why because I didn't even know how to explain it at that time. But I walked all the way out to my car, threw my backpack. I did not want to go home. I had a rubber stamp. My wife, go play. No work the next time. I'm good. I'm sitting in my car looking at the lights of the ball field going, what are you doing, Jesus? This is a mistake. I love this stuff. And I'm doing right. I'm not cussing. I'm not drinking. I'm not chasing women. I'm just here to play some ball. Go home. And I drove home. I got home at like 12:05. I drove in, pulled in the driveway. I thought my wife was going to kill me when I walked in. What are you doing here? Well, babe, I just, you know, we lost. And she goes, you couldn't pick up with nobody else? I could have. But God wanted me to come home. That was strange. I went in there. I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning. The very next day. Either the next day or the next day, I went by Providence Ministries, walking around through there, and I'm sitting there moping around about God. I don't know why you did that to me. And all of a sudden, Chaplain Wesley goes, hey, Brother Kevin, come here, man. I need to talk to you. I walked in there. I said, what do you want? He said, would you do me a favor? I said, what is it? He goes, every Thursday, would you mind taking these guys, all of them, out to play softball? When you take them out there, you can keep them out there for 3 or 4 hours at a time. Y'all can play as many games as you want to preach or teach. But one time of it, I want you to give them a devotional while you're out there. Wait a minute. You're going to take me out to the ballpark with an unlimited amount of time to play, and then I get to share my faith with 20 or 30 guys that are in recovery every Thursday. Man, God, you're pretty good. Amen. I thought you were messing with the thing that I had an identity in. I thought you were going to mess it up. When he first gets involved, when he sits down in your life, it looks like God is going to mess up your life. But he has never messed up a life. He only makes it better. That's what he does. He makes life better. And what he does is he fulfills, he gives you an abundant life. Where everything else comes out of life, when the devil, he takes out of life, he sucks the life out of you. God just puts life in you. Amen? Whew, man, that's good. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Let me go back up to verse 2. I didn't get that last point. And where they were washing their nets. Write this down. This is a big overarching thing. They were through. Think about that. They were through. Amen. Have you ever been through? Done? This is a bigger picture. At one point, somebody had washed the nets on them. They were done. They were not going to be in the ministry. They were going to be fishermen. Amen. That night, they had fished all night. In their mind, the only way you can fish was not fishing. Net fishing was not fishing. There is no day fishing with nets. Amen? But let me grab your attention right here. Let me show this. But you know what was going on? When Jesus sat in that water, everything in creation was looking at Jesus. God, come on. Think about it. When Jesus sat in that boat, every night fish came to the surface and went. It's the creator of the world. It's God incarnate. It's Emmanuel. It's God with us. Sitting right there in that boat. Every wave was breaking, going, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The sun, the moon, the stars in orbit. Hallelujah. Praise God. I praise God. Praise God. The Bible says the universe, everything God created, yearns, groans, wants Jesus. Oh, the earth's going to burn. No. God said, come reset it. Come redo it. Amen? Come start it over. Amen? And it also, can I just go ahead and preach right here? The whole creation will do anything the Master says without a question. You think that's not true? When Jesus walked on the water, water is not supposed to let you walk on it. Water says, you know what? We'll change our molecular structure. We'll hold him up. We ain't got to be frozen. We won't become a solid, but we will do what the Master wants us to do. Wouldn't that be good if we were like water? I don't care what you think you are. I don't care what I think I am. Praise God, if you want me to do something I don't even think I'm capable of doing, I will try. Amen. I will try to hold up Jesus, even though sometimes I don't even think I'm able to. They were cleaning their nets. They were finished for the night. So they thought, man, every time you think you're at the end of yourself, check and wait, make sure that Jesus is not about to do something else. Amen? Just when you've wrote off that Jesus can't do nothing with you at this time or whatever, just think, wait a minute, Jesus, if you're not done, don't let me quit too soon. Amen? Some of us has quit too soon. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Woo, that's good, ain't it? There's not a whole lot of things. I mean, I want to see it all. But there's a couple of places in the Bible that I would like to get go back and let me see it again. Hopefully we got some replay going on in heaven. This is one of them. I would love to hear Jesus. I would love to hear the teaching. Ain't it something that Jesus is teaching right here, but nobody has recorded the message that he preached? That happens a couple of times. Remember when he was in the room where they broke up the roof and they brought the one paralyzed and they put him. Ain't it amazing that Jesus sometimes was preaching, but what he did was more important than what he said? Whew. Sometimes you just got to look at the scriptures and go, wow, that's something. He's sitting in a boat, preaching to a large crowd, but there's not one thing about what he said. Man, that's good. But I'd love to see Peter's face. I would love, I can almost see myself when I first got called into the ministry, when I first started preaching, when I first started going after Jesus. There was times where I was sitting in Sunday school, or I was sitting in a message under another pastor, or I was sitting and reading the Word of God, and I would hear it for the first time, and it would speak to my mind and my spirit, and oh my God, I would say, God, that is so good! Man, I love that stuff! I hope sometimes when I'm preaching and teaching, that hits you and you go, man, it drives me. I want that. That's what I go for. I don't want to just preach messages. I just don't want to have church. I want us to change. I want our whole lives to change. And if God is sick and tired of something we're doing, I hope he can say, I'm sick and tired. And we'll say, we'll change whatever you want us to do. We'll do whatever. He's sitting in that, I could just see Peter sitting back of that boat going, man, everything this man's saying is just burning my heart up. It's changing me. It's destroy. It's, you know what I'm saying? See, Jesus, man, I wish we look at the Bible. Gary, we look at this Bible totally different than it really is. Jesus, Peter wasn't saved. He didn't know. He had never met Jesus. This is his first time. He just sits down in his boat, but he's sitting there and he's wrecking his life and he's making his life. You ever been there? Have you ever had God wreck your life and make your life all at the same time? It's painful and wonderful. It's amazing and destructive. You're on one side excited about the future, on the other side going, what in the world? How do I do this? I don't know anything about it. I'm like a baby. Amen? He said, I could just see him going, oh, man. And at the end of the message, he just said, all right, everybody else go away. It's time for me to call the ones I'm going to call. And if he's going to call you, he's going to challenge you, test you, try you. He's going to push the boundaries of your understanding. You might want to write that down. When God calls you, he will push the boundaries of your understanding. And don't be scared when he does. Just know, hey, it's God, and he knows more than I know. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Whoo, glory to hallelujah. I love Jesus, man. This is the first red letter part of the whole message. He turns around and says, he got done. Man, he just gets done preaching. He's got all the people up on the, he didn't go out and shake one hand, didn't hug one neck, didn't kiss one baby. He just turns to the apostles and disciples and says, hey, Peter, launch out into the deep. Let's go a little deeper. And we'll let down them nets. And let's catch a drop. Let's fill those nets up. You had a rough night last night, but today's going to be different. Launch out in the deep with me. Hey, Peter, launch out in the deep with me. Sometimes I think God is saying, hey, launch out in the deep with me. Can you trust me? You hear what he's saying? Launch out into the deep. We're going to throw our nets out. We're going to catch a drop. I'm going to take you to do something you've done a million times, but I'm going to take you with me to do it. Golly, remember when I was telling you that God will take some of the things you've always done and he will amplify that and use it for his glory instead of your glory? Remember something you're good at and he'll use it in ministry? Some of y'all need to learn how to do some things that you've been doing your whole life for the glory of God. So find a way to tie the message into the mechanical work that you do, the thing that you're good at, the thing when somebody goes, man, he's a good this, or hey, she's a good that, or she, you say, I am good, but I put Jesus in it. Amen? He gave me a talent, but since I put Jesus in it, the talent is the vehicle for the message. Amen? Launch out into the deep for a draw. He didn't say, let's go fishing. And maybe we'll catch some. Let's go out here and maybe I'll show you. Some of y'all need to resign to this, that God is big and awesome and has already figured it out. If you can trust him in this and this and this, why do you keep worrying about things? Amen? Sometimes we worry more than we have faith in God. If God's already brought you, if he's already showed you a track record of taking care of you, why in the world would all of a sudden God just say, I stop. And just quit on you. If you are faithful to have faith in Jesus and you are humble and you live before God, he will be faithful. If you draw nigh to God, if you draw nigh to God, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. That's a principle. That's a truth. So if you're drawing close to God and he draws close to you, why would he all of a sudden just say, I'm not going to help you anymore? I've got you this far. You take care of it yourself. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, don't you like that? I got to start my prayers off sometime with that when I don't really believe fully. we don't say master. Let me tell you how we say it. Hey, Lord. Yeah, you'll get it in a minute. Hey, Lord. What you're saying is you're prefacing. We have toiled all the night. What do you just do? I'm telling you what I've done. I'm telling you my resume. And have taken nothing. That's good. Means nothing. Could have been better. It'd been better. I bet you when this was the final writing of this, and Peter, if he got to see it, would have said, man, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut and just said that last part. Right? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I wish you could go back. There was a times where I should go back and just say, man, I wish I just said, all right, Jesus, I'm going to do it. Hey, y'all need to hear this. Hey, Jesus, I'm just going to do it. You tell him how it's failed, how it can mess up, how it can go bad, how this. He said, we fished all night, master, Lord, teacher. We toiled all night. We caught nothing. But at your word, we're going to cast this net down. I preached this here, I know. But put a date by it, put a night to a sign, say, Kevin's preached. I will preach this again. Matter of fact, I might even preach it this Sunday, all right? So guess what? I'll guarantee you this. He watched that net go all the way down into the water. Let me say it the right way, the way the Lord put it on my heart. He watched that pristine, clean net go down in the water. God, I wish I had one woman in here. Have you ever cleaned something? Have you ever cleaned your kitchen? Have you ever cleaned the stove, the sink, the whole nine yards, and have some knucklehead in your family come and destroy it in 10 minutes right before you were going to go to bed? Stove's a mess, sink's a mess, dishes are a mess, and you're sitting there going, I think I plainly said, is anybody else going to eat tonight? Here it is, 10 p.m., dirty, dirty stove, dirty dishes, dirty sink. What are you thinking? Are y'all good? Finally, some of y'all are alive. That's what Peter was doing. Oh, clean net. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful unfolding net that we got every shell, every fish gut, everything the sea has to offer. We had that thing. We were about to go to bed. We've been up all night. We were about to hit the pillows. Jesus, you're messing it up. That's your word, Jesus. That's your word. Here you go. If you want faith, you got it. You don't have to be the most spiritual person to be obedient. Sometimes you just got to do it anyway. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes that their net break. What you do is you pull it back out. They went to pull it, and I'm like, wait a minute. Let me ask you, as a fisherman, as anything you do to bring money into your house, do you think they cared about sleeping anymore? God, come on, man. Do you think they were sitting there going, man, I'd rather get a nice, you know what they'd rather do? Make some money. Provide for their families. Meet their needs. They might have got, sometimes you get a few in the net. This thing, the net was so feel that it started to break, and they're like, oh no, when God got in it, it got better. Whew. Good. I'm not no prosperity preacher, but sometimes, man, some of y'all will not live for God because you're afraid that He can't take care of you. But praise God, He is the great provider of everything. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with your money, your time, your family, everything. Praise God, we sit there and try to, God, I don't know if you can do it. I don't know. God is like, what in the world? If I've called you to do it, now listen, make sure it's God calling you to do it. And if He does, then do it. And if He didn't, don't. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. Man, going from being mad to being blessed and happy. Look at all the fish. We're going to be busy the rest of the day processing fish. All right. Right? Y'all see it? And when Simon Peter saw it, this is the best. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You know what he just said? He got a snapshot. He said, "God, you're better at everything that I thought I was good at. Everything that I thought I was, you are. God, you're good." And I don't know why. I wish we would get back to this a little bit. I wish we'd kind of get into this, and I wish we would see this, how good God is and how wretched we are. Amen? Because if we're not careful, I'm just going to stay right here for a minute. Y'all just bear with me. I'm preaching right here. Watch this right here. Sometimes we get into this weird place. It's almost like we deserve or we're good or somehow we've kind of started to maybe shift it a little bit. Maybe we're good enough for God. Maybe we're doing good. Maybe we're doing all right. Listen, we are wretched, vile sinners who God had grace and mercy for and brung us out of our sin and made us righteousness by what he did at Calvary. That's who we are. If there was any part of us that had to stand before God on its own, it would fail. Amen? Peter just got a glimpse. Golly, he just got a glimpse of who he was and who God was. I love this. Ed, I love preaching this because the first thing he thought of was, "Get out of my boat. I'm not, get out of here. You're too good and I'm too bad. I don't know why you need somebody like me." That might be an inkling or a showing of why God used him. Because the first response was, "God, don't choose me because you're good and I'm not." Watch this right here. "For he was astonished and all that were with him and the draught of the fishes which they had taken and saw who..." And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." He just said something to them in their spirit. They didn't even know. You think this is something? From now on, you're going to fish for men's souls. What you do, how you've done this whole time in your life, now you're going to use those same principles in reaching people for the kingdom of God. But I'm going to be involved in it. The same way I brought fish into those nets, I'm going to bring people into your nets. The Spirit, Jesus, if you look into Jesus when he says, "I am the Redeemer," a Redeemer, all a Redeemer is a net. A net goes down into the sea, wraps around what it is, and redeems it from the bottom. Amen. I could preach another hour on that, but I'm not going to. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." The biggest catch in their entire lives. It just changed their business and the way their business would be run for almost months, if not a year or 2 years. Amen? You would think the business mind would go, "Oh, what a good start." Amen? Man, Jesus and us and this fishing business, we are going to be the top fishermen on this whole group. You know what they said? "I showed you how great I am in the physical. I want you to follow me. Mom, Dad, here's a lot of fish to process. See ya." We're following the man who calls himself Jesus because we believe he is the Savior. And we'd rather follow him into something that we don't have a clue about than to stay here and live off of something we did today. Amen? Let me tell you this. That's all God really wants out of our lives, to follow him. No matter where he says to go, no matter how he says to go, no matter what he says to do, just to simply say, "I'm with you, Jesus." And you say, "Man, how can you do it?" If you ever bring in a haul, if you ever hear one soul cry out to Jesus, you'll be a fisherman. You know why fishermen go fishing? Because they caught fish. If you ever catch one, the rest of your life will be like, "Hey, I want to catch another one. I'd like to catch another one. Let's all stand. I hope it's been a blessing to you tonight. I hope the word hit in all the places that it needed to hit. I know it has for me. This challenged me in a great way.